from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Fillmore's finest, Bronte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby. Let's get right into it as we say good morning to everybody out there on the roadways getting ready for work. Good morning, good morning, good morning to YouTube, Twitch, and, of course, the Xfinity Mobile text line. Some great news here. We're going to veer off of football for just a second and get to know new assistant head coach of the Golden State Warriors, Terry Stotts, of course, a longtime Portland Trailblazers head coach. And, of course, he was an assistant way back when in 04 and 05. So we'll still see if he has some Bay Area knowledge. Of course, he's been down here a lot with those Portland Trailblazer teams, having some great playoff moments against the Warriors, although they came up short every single year. I don't want to remind coach about that. Now he's on the winning side here, of course. But also today, big day for Warrior fans. If you're looking for tickets, how about this? Beginning at 10 a.m. today, single game tickets will become available exclusively for Warrior season ticket members. At 12 p.m., Dub Club members and Santa Cruz Warrior season ticket members will gain access to purchase tickets. And then at 2 o'clock, Shasky, this is where you come in. Chase card holders using their credit card or debit cards can take part in a pre-sale event. And then tomorrow, tickets go on sale to the general public starting at 10 a.m. So if you want to go to that Laker game on Christmas, you want to go play see the Celtics, you want to go to the home opener against the Clippers, now's your time. But season ticket holders will get first dibs at 10 a.m. today on Warriors.com. With that said, let's bring in Terry Stotts to the River Islands guest line. Terry, good morning. Bonte Hill, Joe Shasky the Butcher, welcome to the morning roast. How did this come all together? Spinoni, let's get Stotts on the line. He's there? All right, Coach, what's happening?
Here.
Good morning, Coach.
I'm here. How you guys doing?
Oh, we're doing
Thanks for
great.
Having me.
We're dead, absolutely. Hey, what brought you back to the Bay Area, man? It's been a while since you've been back in the Bay. Of course, you coached those great Portland Trailblazer teams with Damian Lillard. How did the conversation go with Steve Kerr to bring you aboard here to the Golden State Warriors?
Well, you know, when Kenny got the job in Cleveland, obviously he was looking for somebody, and it just kind of came about pretty quickly. I think there's a little bit of a mutual admiration. I've always obviously appreciated what Steve and the coaching staff has done with the team. As you mentioned, thankfully that, we were on the losing end of a few of those. There were some good series, but they had our number. But, good conversations with Steve. He kind of reshuffled his staff a little bit, and hopefully I can bring something to the table.
Coach, watching Steph Curry, now that you get to be on the bench with him, did you see what he did in the – I mean, you had to have seen what he did in the Olympics. Wasn't that special?
Well, yes, and he's had so many special special times. You know, a lot of them were against us as well. But, you know, he's remarkable, and I'm glad I'm going to be on his side of the court instead of the other. But, you know, he's an amazing player. I've had so much respect for what he has done in the league, for the Warriors, how he's conducted himself. He's been so good, and I'm glad to be on his side.
And, Coach, you're watching that I'm Back game, remember?
Oh, I mean, why you got to remind Coach like that?
No, he's
going to hang up the phone.
Look.
No, I'm kidding.
You know, look, it sucks for you on your end, but, like, it was one of the great moments of the guy's career. I mean, what are you thinking when this guy's coming back? He's not even starting the game, and then he scores more points than anybody in an overtime ever. I mean, that's one of those signature, like, there's just nothing you can do moments, right?
No, I don't think anybody's figured out what to necessarily do with him. It's just, like I said, he's had so many special moments. And, you know, I go back to the series, the multiple series that we had, even though we got swept twice and only got one win, we felt like we played them competitively, but they always found a way, whether it was Steph, Clay, Draymond, they made the plays. And, you know, that's just a sign of a championship player and championship team.
No doubt. Terry Stotts here on the River Islands guest line. Don't forget, season ticket holders, you have a chance to purchase individual game tickets today beginning at 10 a.m. Also, Shasky loves the Emirates NBA Cup mini plan. Shasky loves the NBA Cup. Today at 2 p.m., you'll have the opportunity to purchase tickets for the NBA Cup. Of course, Dallas is in that group with Klay Thompson coming back here. So, Coach, what do you remember about the Bay Area, man? It's been so long since you lived here.
You know, probably the best memory I have of the Bay Area, that was Mike Montgomery's first year as coach with the Warriors. And, yep. You know, we're struggling. It was, you know, we weren't really a good team. We had a lot of young team, young players. We had some vets. But really, that was the beginning of the Baron Davis era. And when we made that trade for Baron at the trade deadline in February, things just turned around. And there was so much excitement in the arena. We were selling out. We were out of the playoffs, but we were selling out, and people were excited about the next year. And just getting Baron just changed the whole complexion of that season. But, you know, it's a lot different now. I'll be living in San Francisco instead of out in Walnut Creek, and, you know, not playing at the Oracle over in Oakland. So it's going to be a little bit different feel for me.
It's probably good for you, though, right? Because I remember a lot of those Portland Trailblazer games. You're right. They were so competitive, those series and those games. And obviously, Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum. You had Al Farouq Aminu and Mo Harkless. And you guys were up. I remember one game, you guys were up like 15, and then Steph and Draymond with the two-man game started to pick it up there. So what do you like about Chase? What do you know about Chase Center?
Well, it's a first-class arena. You know, you go in there. I haven't been on the Warriors' side. I haven't been to their locker room or their practice facility. But obviously, what they did for the opposing teams was just a first class. And you know, I've said before, the Bay Area fans are incredible, and I've always said that. You know, my friend George Karl coached there in the 80s, great fan base then. I was there with Coach Montgomery. It's just, it's always been, even in through thick and thin, the fans have been there. And, you know, obviously when you're a championship-level team, it's that much better.
Coach, you were on that 04-05 Warrior team, and there's some names you were referencing, some of them. You worked for Chris Mullin at the time. You know, Bonte works with Chris Mullin. How has Mully changed over the years?
Well, I haven't spent a lot of time with Mully, but yeah, he was in charge, him and Rod Higgins, and they were, I don't know if that might have even been his first year, I'm not sure, but I always had a lot of respect for Mully as a player. You know, as I mentioned, George was coaching him when George was with the Warriors in the 80s, and he was he's such a pro and such a great player. I was kind of in awe of him from that perspective, but he was easy to work with. I think he had a really good eye for the game, good evaluating of players, but more than anything, he's just a good guy to be around and work for.
So your role, obviously you have a pedigree with offensive basketball, of course, but you're a head coach doing it on both sides of the basketball. What are some of the tweaks, or maybe you can't give that away here, but what is you see with this current roster now? You have some youngsters and Brandon Podziemski and Jonathan Kuminga and, of course, Moses Moody and Trayce Jackson-Davis. You have Draymond Green, who you coached against a long time here. Offensively, what do you want to put your fingerprints on when it comes to these young players to get the best out of them?
You know, I really, I've had some conversations with Steve about it, and really, I don't want to take away from what they've done so well. They've been such a good read and react team. They move well without the ball, and incorporating some of the new players, well, I think Buddy Hield will be great in it. Kyle Anderson will be great in it. De'Anthony Melton. I think the new players will come in and fit well. Getting the younger guys comfortable with moving with and without the ball, setting screens on ball, off ball, freeing Steph up a little bit more if we can. He has a knack of getting open anyway. But, you know, my biggest thing is not to change too much of what they've done, but I think Steve wants to tweak some things, do some things better, throw away some things, and I think that's what this next month is going to be for.
Man, we're pretty fired up, man. We, like, the Warriors, you know, it was a tough year last year. They got to get back to the playoffs, and everybody's fired up. I think these young players are going to take a big step forward, and I'm excited to see you working on the bench with Steve Kerr. We've always loved you from afar, Coach.
Well, I appreciate it. And it's been, like I said, I think it's really a great fit for me at this stage of my career. And hopefully, like I said, hopefully I can bring something to the table. I have a lot of respect for Steve and their staff and what they've done. I think there's still a window. You know, you say last year was a tough year. They won 46 games, and 46 used to be, used to be a guaranteed playoff spot.
Right.
But the West is so tough. It's wide open. And I think we're going to be in the mix. And that's what... In the West, if you're in the mix, anything can happen.
All right, let's have a little fun here, Coach, before we let you go. Portland's a great food city. I love Portland. Portland, Oregon had a lot of great food. Now you're down in the Bay Area. What's the meal you got to have down here in the Bay Area? Mm. What are you looking forward to eating down here in the Bay?
You know, I'm actually looking forward to exploring a lot of new places. You know, we didn't go out a lot of time. Most of the time we were over in Oakland. So, yep. You know, but anyway... I'm not looking forward to one particular thing. I enjoyed my walks in San Francisco probably more than anything else. You know, the food, there's great restaurants. But every time I came to San Francisco, I enjoyed my walks, whether it's down the wharf or going up in the heights or all along. It's just it's a great walking city, and I think I'll enjoy that the most.
Ah, I like it. You like to get your exercise on, get some sunshine, walk the Embarcadero. We respect that,
yeah.
Coach. No, we can't wait to meet
you. I walk up Powell. I don't take the cable car.
Oh wow, you walk up the hill. See, Shasky, you gotta learn from Coach, man. Don't be ducking the car. Don't be ducking the hill, Shasky.
I walk the hill every single day.
No, Coach, he's a cable car guy. He'll take Uber up Powell Street, man. I respect you for walking up those hills. No, Coach, we can't wait to meet you next month, man. Trading Caps around there. And you get to spin Trading Caps in Hawaii. How cool is that?
I know. Are you going to be there with us?
No, you know, unfortunately, we got to do this morning show. I don't know. They're not sending us to Hawaii. We wouldn't work, Coach. We'd have too much fun out there.
I was going to say, you could do it from your hotel room.
Hey, don't give me any ideas, Coach. I mean, you hear that, boss man? We could do it from our hotel room. Shasky, Hawaii, we bring the family, training camp, let's do it.
I'm actually going to Hawaii in February.
Oh, wow. See what I deal with, Coach? See what I deal with on a daily basis here? Anyway, Coach, thanks for joining us, man. Tickets go on sale for season ticket members. Coach Terry Stotts, new assistant coach of the Golden State Warriors. Again, 10 a.m. 10 a.m. single game tickets will become available exclusively for Warriors season ticket members at 12 p.m. Dub Club members and Santa Cruz Warriors season ticket members will gain access to purchase tickets. And at 2 p.m., Chase cardholders like Joe Shasky, putting your business out there, using their debit or credit cards, can take part in the pre-sale event. And then tomorrow at 10 a.m., the general public, or excuse me, some people will have, Warriors insiders will have access to pre-sale tickets started at 10 a.m. Then the general public will have access at 4 p.m. And again, you could call, you go to warriors.com, or you could do it by phone, 888-GSW-HOOP.
I'm excited to get into some Warrior basketball here. I do feel like the season starts a little too early for my liking, but I am excited for it.
Yeah.
It should be interesting. There's a lot of unknowns.
It's coming, like, they're going to start training camp. We're going to be in October football season. Where are the 49ers going to be at? And I'm already looking at the schedule. I haven't done a deep dive yet. Usually I do a deep dive by this point, but I already saw that the home opener falls on the same day as the Niners and Cowboys.
Mm.
So your boy will be working, making some money, and then going home to rewatch the game at night. I'll try to shield myself, but it will be pretty impossible to do that. But the Cowboys are like our little brothers, so I'm not really worried about them. To be honest with you, the Cowboy game, now I'm talking myself into this. This may be lying season right here. It's lost its luster a little bit. 42-10. Anybody fear the Cowboys anymore?
It'll still be awesome when I'm walking through that parking lot and there's 8 billion Cowboy fans.
I mean, they stink. Warriors basketball right around the corner. No Clay, man. It's gonna hit people in the cardiac. No Clay, and Clay's in a great space. Let's get back to football. We're going to walk you back Wednesday soon, 8:30, walk back Wednesday. What are you walking back this week, Shasky? I can't wait to hear it. BPA is on the line. BPA, I did not miss you on vacation. Just want to put that out there.
Hey, thanks. Appreciate that.
Are you going to be at Fremont Bank today at the summit?
No, I'm not. Sorry. I'm going to miss that one. Hey, I don't know if you saw Grant Cohn coming out and saying that the Warriors management or front office is not happy with John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan. And I thought that was just the irony I mean, obviously the 49ers are just super competent, competitive. They do everything possible to win. They make lots of good decisions. Versus the Giants, where you have, I mean, there's more criticism of the 49er front office than the Giants front office. And you have this just really kind of almost military discipline amongst the local media here to protect Farhan at all costs, even to their own reputation. I think it's incredible. Yeah, it's a pretty incredible thing that there are still people out there trying to defend Farhan Zaidi's performance.
Are people still wait, BPA, real quick. Are people still actually defending Farhan Zaidi? Because I tried to take a step back from the interwebs.
No. 100%. Like, Baggerly, Kawakami. I mean, Kawakami tweeted all weekend about how amazing the attendance was, which has... But one intention. But one intention is to cast Farhan in the best possible light of, sure, Farhan sucks, but the fans still come. And last night there was maybe, I don't know, 20,000 people?
Beginning? There was not 20,000 there.
There was not a lot of people there.
No.
Not a lot of people at the game last night. And did Kawakami talk about, you know, no attendance last night?
Wasn't Steiny bragging about the attendance? Not to throw him under the bus. Wasn't he bragging like, boy, there was a lot of people at the yard? It was Labor Day weekend. Nobody had nothing to do.
Hey, we all know the people who are tight with local ownership. Okay, so anyways,
You know what? It's interesting you bring that up, because I do want to real quickly, like, and I respect him.
Not Calvin. I didn't see that.
No, but I respect him.
I did hear Steiny bring up the attendance.
There's this new rhetoric from him. Like, well, I mean, if you follow, there's a lot of logical moves and blah blah. I don't get paid to tic tac toe the logic. Okay, if I'm a fan, like part. Either I'm in or I'm out, and the results are good or they're bad. It's very simple. That's the beauty of American sports. Either you win or you don't. And right now, the Giants aren't winning. So all of your thought, like, great example, okay? Bonte, I understood the logic of trying to draft Trey Lance.
Yeah.
It didn't work out.
It didn't work out.
Okay?
They moved off of him.
The only way that the 49er brass has kept their job is because they've been winning and they've been wildly successful. It's not about the logic and the thought process. And like, this ain't a tech company, dog. Like, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to go IPO here and have people buy in. What I'm trying to do, results driven. How much have you sold? Are you winning? Period. It's very results driven. That's the beauty of a meritocracy when it comes to sports in the modern age. Do you win? Yes. Is the business model good? Yes. Well, both of those are no's for the Giants. But I look at the Niners, and both of those are yes.
Yep.
So the Niners can do all this crazy stuff with holdouts, and this guy's angry with money and blah, blah, blah. Hey, as long as you win, we'll all shut up. And we're all going to show up, and we're going to have our pom-poms out, and we're all there. I don't give a flying rip if it all makes sense on paper. Because on the field, I'm watching a team that can't hold runners on. They can't play defense. They don't hit. They can't hit with runners in scoring position. I'm sorry, you're wrong. And the fans, the consumer, because that's what it is, although I know you haven't paid for a ticket in 20 freaking years, the consumer has rejected the product, and the record on the field is subpar. Simultaneously, if you dig a little deeper and you want to be Mr. Analytics, this team, of all the teams that are competing for a wild card spot, is by far and away the worst run differential team of them all. So pick whatever metric you want. You want to go pitching staff, you want to go hitting, you want to go run differential, you want to go overall record. Like, this team is not good enough.
No,
so to
not.
Put them in the same sentence as the wildly successful San Francisco 49ers, who drive me crazy because they can't win at all, at least the Niners have unbelievable victories that have got me great joy. I mean, great joy. Think about how we felt when we beat Aaron Rodgers without scoring an offensive touchdown in Lambeau. Think about how you felt when they knocked off Seattle for the first time in Seattle. Think about how you felt last year when you came back down a gazillion points to Detroit in the second half, and Ayuk makes the butterfly catch. And you're putting the Farhan era Giants on the same. Get out of here.
Who's doing that?
I don't think anybody.
Nobody in their right mind is putting the Giants on the same pedestal as the 49ers and or the Golden State Warriors. Because let's not forget, the Warriors actually won championships. Four of them. They went to six finals. Six.
I'm more intrigued see if Jonathan Kuminga can actually play for $40 million like we think he can than anything on the draft roster.
Let's not. At least the Warriors are saying, hey, we're trying to do something. They're in the mix on moves. And you know what? Everybody believes the Warriors can't complete moves because they signed Kevin Durant. One of the biggest free agents in North American sport history. All right, so the Giants thing. So I did hear Steiny say this. I don't know about Kyle Kami. I didn't look at Twitter. I was kind of in and out.
Well, he's just been defending moves, and I'm just tired of it. You've lost the war. The war is over. The war is done.
Farhan's cooked.
It's over.
September 30th, October 1st, he's gone.
I win, you lose, it's over. Just admit, take the L, hang the L, stop blocking people, shut up, take the L and wear it. No, he needs to take the L and wear it. Stop defending him because you get him on the podcast. It's kind of driving me nuts. And I respect you, Tim, but you're wrong on the Giants. You're wrong. We were right. Farhan stinks, okay? Their most important player is a 19-year-old who just got elevated to Double A and went 0-3 yesterday. You're wrong. It's okay. All right? You can write a critical piece about one of the teams. I know you're trying to book someone to be a guest on the pod. You're a journalist first. I'm a hot take artist, not you, okay? I'm the one who has opinions. How am I crushing the teams more than you? You're supposed to be objective.
Click shaft.
No, I'll tell him to his face.
Keep cooking.
It's driving me nuts. You want to defend the Niners? Go right ahead. They've been unbelievably successful. You want to defend the Warriors? They got four championships, for crying out loud. The Golden State Warriors. And they beat LeBron. I mean, okay, you want to defend them? I get it. What have the Giants done to make you earn their loyalty? Just because you got Greg Johnson on the podcast one time?
Frisco Shafty.
Get out of here!
Hey, by the way.
Stop insulting my intelligence!
By the way, for Greg Johnson went on the podcast. They went on a little winning streak when they went to Pittsburgh and New York. And they won games. He came on the podcast and was like flexing. He flexed so hard. And I'm like, dude, you couldn't even get Buster Posey on a private jet to announce that he was part of the ownership group. You did it over at Grady Zoom. Everything the Giants do right now is small time. It's small time. Again, the Sacramento Shuttle has been shuffling players back and forth. I'm telling you, they missed the boat on the Amtrak sponsorship. They missed the boat on that one. I mean, gosh, Luis Matos has been to Sacramento more than Casey and D'Lo. He's basically got a house up there.
You ever heard the Master P song? Everyone from the Giants needs to just lay low for a little while. Just lay low.
Everybody just lay low till October.
Clear the decks, and then I'm ready to talk to you.
They can't lay low. I'm done with laying low on this. Farhan's got to go. We're going to have Fleming on at 850. We're not going to put him in that position to say fire, guys. But I'll tell Fleming here at 850 today, I say, Fleming, they can't go on with this regime. This is just how I feel as a fan. And look, I don't spend money on Giants tickets. I love having the press credential. Now, I do spend money on Niners season tickets, and they're worth it. But the Sacramento Shuttle Giants, it might as well be the Sacramento Giants. They might as well be. Casey Schmidt back and forth. He's got no confidence. I mean, Tyrone Strada. Also, he was a legit second baseman. He's back and forth to Sacramento on the Sacramento Shuttle, right? And then I did hear Steiny yesterday for a little bit. I think he even came in while we were done with our show. They came in. It's like, the attendance is up. The attendance. Labor Day weekend always has good crowds.
There have been some fans out there.
It's been some fans here and there, but we got nothing to do. We're waiting for games. The Warriors, I think there's a direct correlation. I think there's a direct correlation with the Warriors not making the playoffs, and fans are just itching for live action. We're itching for live sports. The Sharks weren't in the playoffs. The Warriors weren't in the playoffs. We're like, we need something to do. We got to get out there.
I mean, we might be going to ACC games pretty soon.
I mean,
Stanford and the ACC.
Well, you know what? I got offered tickets to Stanford and TCU.
Yeah?
And Laura Wakefield. I said, damn, I would have went if I was in town. I would go to a Stanford game all day long over a Giants game.
Are you still defending this?
I don't know who's defending Farhan. I don't know who the hell's defending Farhan. If you're defending Farhan, call us right now. I would love to hear from the Farhan defenders. He's got no Q rating. He's got no pizzazz. They've got no direction. Bob Melvin, and that Bob Melvin hire that I was very critical of, look at the Padres. What the hell was the problem with San Diego last year? Bob Melvin may be a nice guy, but it looks like A.J. Preller ain't the problem. They're winning games. Yeah, you keep rolling your eyes, Lubman, but the Padres right now are
10th manager in 10 years. Man, but yeah,
they've been wildly profitable this year compared to the Giants. Lubman?
The Padres are in second place and one of the hottest teams in baseball. The Diamondbacks leapfrogged you. Remember we were all laughing at the Diamondbacks 2 years ago? The Diamondbacks leapfrogged you and clowned your asses yesterday in front of 15,000 fans. The Giants are cooked. They're done. So all I say is October 30th, September the 1st will be a great day in Giants baseball because I do believe they cannot go on with this regime any longer. You can't do it. I tuned out after the third inning.
Patrick Berry's best swing for the last 3 months was a push bunt down the line. A push bunt down the line.
Yaz is our second best outfielder right now. He is. All right. Welcome back Wednesday coming up. Brought to you by Fremont Bank. Great Ranch asking. I was waiting on that one. Wow. I was fire. Celebrating 60 years of full service banking with no compromises.
This is Oreo Cookie from Oakland, California. And it's plain to see, you can't change me because I'm going to be a roaster for life.
That's a sick drop. That's a sick drop by Oreo Cookie. Sick drop. Evan Giddings, what's up, baby? What's up, Evan? Wake up. Football's back. Speaking of football, the Red and Gold Summit is today. Fremont Bank in Fremont. 39150 Fremont.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Fremont Boulevard, 39150 Fremont Boulevard. We'll learn dance from 2 to 4. Then the rest of us will join the game from 4 to 6. Lo Neal's going to be signing autographs, taking pictures. He'll probably get on the mic as well. And you can come and watch. Space is limited, but you can come and watch for free. For free. First come, first serve. First come, first serve. So, sorry, I got to hang up this FaceTime as Mama is brushing Chesna's hair and they're having a little fight because she wants her hair done one way and Mama said, we don't have time for that. And there you go. Don't have to deal with that. Being a girl dad is interesting. Way back Wednesday coming up. Shasky, what's up, man? You fired up today. I like this, Shasky. This is Shasky I'm talking about.
Look, this is the reality is this, like, I'm a big, like, equal opportunist, all right? Life is very much about credits and demerits. That's what I've learned in my life, right? You do a bunch of good deeds, I kind of think you're a good person. You know what I mean? Like, you do a bunch of dumb stuff, I kind of think you're a dummy.
Or let some crooks doing good deeds, too.
Well, yeah, I mean, there are complicated individuals.
There's some con artists out there.
Right, like, Tony Soprano's complicated, right? Like, I freely admit that.
He's not a great guy.
But, like, look, the Niners. Now, Grant Cohn is reporting, and that's, look, he's got his sources, and I believe his sources. Everyone's supercharged when they hear the name Grant Cohn. He's there every day. You know, I'm sure he gets a lot of messages, and I'm sure he gets a lot of intel. And he puts it out that, hey, you know, like, John and Kyle, they might be on the hot seat if they don't win it all this year. And by hot seat, I don't even know if he knows what he means. You know, pressure, maybe they lose a little bit of control.
Maybe you should just get him on then and ask him what he means.
I don't know, but I believe
him. Get him on, because I don't know what he means. Like, honestly, if the Niners don't win the Super Bowl this year, Shanahan and Lynch are going to get rolled out of town?
Well, that's okay.
Honestly, let's sit back for a second.
I think it's more this. Like, okay, instead of Shanahan having all the control over every aspect of the organization, maybe you bring in someone from the outside to have a little more influence and you lessen his influence. Doesn't mean he's gone, right? It just means, like, instead of overseeing every department, you're only overseeing certain departments.
So what, it's like the Niners, Shanahan and Lynch right now are sitting in recliners. With massages. Well, you know, you get to the airport, they got the little massage chair. I sat in one in Philadelphia for like 45 minutes.
I never sat in one of those.
No, they're unbelievable.
Okay, I'll take your word for it, yeah.
But that's what Shanahan and Lynch are sitting in right now.
Okay, but if you have a
couple, they don't win the Super Bowl, they're going to be on some damn hot seat? Well, come on, man. Let's pump the brakes a little. And I'm not calling out Grant Cohn or anything. Now, when it comes to the money stuff, and front office maybe not happy about all the money they're spending, there could be something there. There could be something there because the Niners, because Jed York, what other streams of revenue do they have? Leeds United? Well, they're spending a lot of money for that, right?
To be an owner in the NFL, it's wildly profitable. You're getting $400 to $600 million checks every year just based off the television deal, right? That doesn't include all the money that you're making on gate days. So it's wildly profitable for every owner, but in particular the Niners.
So for the 49ers, they're getting playoff games. Yeah, they're going to host a Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
They're going to host the World Cup games. I mean, business is booming in Santa Clara. I go to that team store, and it is packed.
But if you were running a business, and it's easy for everyone to say, just keep reinvesting. If you think you could still win 11 games and shed a little money and keep it in your pocket, you'd be surprised how many people, I'm just saying, you'd be surprised how many people will do that.
They do, but Jed York's running the show.
No, he's proven that he's going to put money onto the team, right? Like, look, I've criticized Jed till I'm blue in the face, but even I, like, at some point, I was like, all right, I tap out. Like, Jed's been really good. Look, the guy's been to 3 Super Bowls.
He's doled out over $400 million in guarantees over the last 5
years.
But let's ask you, just hold on, before, because I don't even, you can go ahead and talk. I'm not going to give this I'm not going to give it any legs. I don't even want to waste my breath on this. Honestly, when it comes down to it, I'm a bottom line type of guy. If the Niners don't win the Super Bowl, you're telling me Lynch and Shanahan are going to be on the hot seat?
No, I don't think
that is asinine.
No, I don't.
That is some of the dumbest things I've ever heard in my life.
I don't.
And they just signed extensions in 2023 anyway. So all of a sudden, Jed York's going to, you know what? We're spending too much money. You didn't win a Super Bowl. You're on the hot seat. Let me clip you and be on the hook for more money to pay you while paying another coach. That is silly as hell.
No, no, it's I don't think it's hot seat like that.
Do people really believe this?
No, I don't think it's hot seat like that. But if you don't think that you'd bring in someone else to kind of influence some of the decisions and lessen some of your power, like that I believe. Like, think about any company, right? Like, Bonte, you're running, just hypothetically, you're running, you know, a plumbing business, all right?
Hold on. Before we even go any farther, Lynch and Shanahan have put together this roster, which we all consider the best roster in football.
They've got 8 guys making $15 or more million. They're awesome. They're an awesome
team. Top 100 players, all pros galore, pro bowlers galore.
Yeah, they're awesome.
And they've had one of the best rosters, basically, the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. And they've been to the NFC title game for the last 5 years. Mm-hmm. And if they don't win the Super Bowl this year, let's bring in an outside influence to switch things up a little bit.
No, not switch
things
up. They
didn't lose a game. They're losing Super Bowls in overtime.
I'm just saying, lessen the control. Like, right now, Shanahan probably runs almost every aspect of the Niners.
How's that worked out for the 49ers?
They've been wildly successful.
Yeah, so why would we want to take control from Shanahan when he's basically cooked this thing? Let's remember what it was like before Shanahan.
I'm well aware
and
of
let's
what it was
really,
like.
Let's remember what it was
but
like.
I also understand owning a business and, you know, being forced to, like, pony up guaranteed money over and over and over again every offseason.
That's what happens.
What I'm saying is there are a lot of other owners around the league that would say, all right, well, show me my Lombardi. Like, I do understand that. I'm not saying they're running them out of town. There's just a little pressure. Like, hey, guys, I need you to deliver.
Guess what? There's pressure in all the pro sports.
Of course.
You don't think Steve Kerr's feeling pressure?
Bonte,
you don't think
Bill Belichick won 6 championships and they ran him out of town?
Right. You know what I'm saying?
After a couple of bad years.
Anyone can
get ran out.
So I mean, like,
but I don't believe they're going to be fired. That's where I'd say it's way too far. No, like, lose a little bit of control. I don't even know what that looks like. I'm just saying, I understand if I'm ownership, it's like, guys, come on, we got to win one here. That's a different conversation than you're going to fire someone.
Yeah,
there's like 80 freeway exits before I get to firing you.
Jed York, they're trying to win one.
Of course they are.
They've gone to 2 Super Bowls. And this is me, the ultimate Super Bowl or bust guy. And I it was tough for me to talk 49 football all season. I still haven't gotten over Las Vegas. But now I switched gears and I'm ready to roll against the New York Jets. I'm ready to kick the Jets' ass on September the 9th. And I can't wait for that. I'm ready to kick their ass and then go to Minnesota in the trap game, beat Darnold, and then play the L.A. Rams setting up an NFC West showdown in week number three. That's where my mind is right now. But they spent wisely. They've kept their premium players. The players who are all pros. That's spending wisely. You're keeping your players here. How many premium players have they? They made the trade for Buckner. Bad move. They made the trade for Trey Lance. Bad move. They've been able to draft and replace and replenish while the stadium's full.
Sure.
They're getting soccer games galore. They spent wisely. If anybody hasn't spent wisely, maybe Jed York and them shouldn't be spending $200 million on a new scoreboard. You know what I'm saying? So
Monte, the irony is I agree with everything you're saying. Yeah. I think it would be a very penny-wise, pound-foolish decision to move off of either John Lynch or Kyle Shanahan. They're wildly so. Now, if they have, again, if they go 9-8 this year, and then next year they go 7-10. All right, well now we can have a different conversation.
Now we can have a conversation.
Okay,
but like, they're coming off a super. They were the number one seed last year. Again, they're 54-29 in the regular season the last 5 years, while switching quarterback galores. Hey, three different quarterbacks, crying out loud.
But there's also an element of, like, and again, I'm just saying, like, if I'm running the business, if I'm running the team, I'm saying, like, guys, why is it back-to-back years? If I assume that Jed isn't involved in the day-to-day, why is it back-to-back years? Our high-priced guys are all waiting till the very end to get paid. It didn't do us any favors last year. Like, come on, we gotta switch up our business model a little here. Well, that's a different conversation.
And that's on Jed and Parag then.
Well,
that's on
Jed and Parag. I don't know how much Jed's involved.
It's got to be on Parag because IU came to the table shortly after the Super Bowl trying to get a new deal.
Do you think that Parag does? I agree with you. It is on Parag. But do you think that Parag, for the most part, does what Kyle and John are looking for him to do?
He runs the books.
Yeah.
He's a financial guy. He's the analytical guy. It's not lost on me what Tim Kawakami told us a month ago on this show. That Parag. Agents reach out to the Niners. We're talking to Parag Marate. And Parag is a difficult guy to deal with.
Yeah, but I don't think Parag is negotiating without all of the parameters. And like, Shanahan's the one I believe. I mean, I could be wrong, but my feel is like, Shanahan's like, I want this player. Figure it out. Like, this is what we're comfortable with. And I'm sure that they have a big whiteboard. I'm sure there's like 15 people in there that are saying, all right, we can afford this. We can't afford that player. Moving forward, we're going to have these guys. Right. And this is how much we're allocating. I'm just saying, like, if I was running things, I can understand saying, guys, come on, man. We got to win one of these.
You know, IU just signed to Trent Williams to staying in camp, and it feels like we just look for drama.
No, I'm
like,
not.
But it just feels like, because this hit my timeline, and I watch Grant Cohn's video, and I respect
Grant. The pressure of the NFL.
But it's the pressure of pro sports. It's
the pressure of pro sports. The NFL's making so much money.
NFL's crazy like that, no doubt about it. NFL's pressure packed, but you fire Shanahan, and he'll be picked up the next day. So let's pump the brakes on like hot seat talk, and they need to get it done this year. Guess what? If they don't get it done this year, we're all going to be disappointed. But guess what? If Shanahan and Lynch want to be back, they'll be back. We'll be happy again.
So here's
my thing. It's just like we're looking for drama instead of focusing on like, well, how does Brock Purdy improve on next season? How does he improve off a monster year? How does IU improve off a second team all pro? How does Debo get back to wearing number one and becoming that dominant player we saw in 2021? How does George Kittle, who quietly had a monster season a season ago, how does he recap on that? Like, what is that? We're talking hot seats and money and business. I'm just like, whoa, wait, what are we doing here?
Here's what we're doing. We're like, if I'm running the team, I'm saying, all right, is this going to happen with Brock Purdy next year, guys? That's what I think. And I'm not saying that. Again, it's not life and death. I don't think it's fire you or you stay. But it's like, come on. I don't want to go down this road with my franchise quarterback next year. It's been two seasons in a row. Like, let's allocate whatever you think we can allocate. And let's figure this thing out because it's a bad look for all involved.
But this is business, though. This is business.
Yeah, and
is
it a bad look? The business of last year bled into the regular season.
Is it a bad look, or is it just business in the NFL?
Well, okay. Did the business?
CeeDee Lamb held out, and he got his money.
I don't think it's going to be a great look.
I don't think Dallas is that good. I don't think Dallas is that good, but you know what? They're happy they got CeeDee Lamb. You know what I'm saying? The fans are not. Now they're talking about Dak. And now they're talking about how do we get to the NFC Championship game for the first time since 1995. You know what I mean? Like this whole, like I respect Grant Cohn and what he does. He's at practice every day. And he's got his thing. And he's wildly profitable doing what he's doing. But it's hard for me to believe because he said, it was in that video, Can we play the video for crying out? Do we have the sound? Let's just play the sound. Let's play the damn thing. Play the sound from Grant Cohn about the hot seat. Because that's the biggest thing I took away from it. It's like, wait a minute, you're telling me that if they don't win the Super Bowl, Shanahan and Lynch should be on some hot seat? Like, just...
Well, yeah, I know. It sounds absurd.
It is absurd. It doesn't sound absurd. It is absurd.
But I'm trying to play the devil's advocate and feel like...
You don't need to do that, though.
No, but I'm saying, like, if I put myself... Just hear me out. If I put myself in the other, you know, the other end of it, like, all right, if I'm running the team, I'm saying, like, all right, last year, like, we all knew we wanted Bosa long-term. Man, we waited till the Wednesday before. We all knew we wanted to have Ayuk and Trent Williams, and you told me you did, and it's like, it went all the way down to the very end. Like, can we avoid that next year with Brock Purdy? That's what I would be saying. Yeah. Not about you better win it all, you're all gone. Like, that's not how I'm seeing it.
You know
this.
What? The players are able to compartmentalize this stuff. They certainly did it last year when they went to Pittsburgh and kicked their ass 30-7 and benched everybody in the fourth quarter and started off 5-0. Now, I know Bosa made the excuses and said that he needed training camp or whatnot, but they went 30-30-30-30-42. Or what was it? 35, and then 42 against the Dallas Cowboys.
Nobody on the offense held out. The defense was where we had the issue. And I think
not the first five games.
But after nine games, you had three sacks for Bosa. And most people were like, damn, he don't really look like him. So I don't think, talking about this, I don't think it's the end of the world. I don't think we're creating some. If they win games, this all goes
it's
away.
It's obviously drama because I see it on the shows. Nick Wright was running with it. You know what I'm saying?
Was he?
Dick Wright
was
running
with it. He hates the Niners in general. Well,
so like that stick of like, hey, there's got to be drama. Let's just play the cut. Here it is, Grant Cohn.
I have some breaking news. I just spoke to a source who's close to the 49ers, and this is exactly what he told me. I'm hearing the front office is extremely upset with the current financial status of the team, with the salary cap, and the Ayuk and Trent contracts. It's Super Bowl or bust, and if it's bust, then heads will roll. The Lynch and Shanahan regime is on the hot seat, and it's hotter than ever. Front office, I guess, ownership, is upset with Lynch and Shanahan about all the spending that's happened this offseason. I guess if this report is true, and I have no reason to believe it's not, the front office, Parag, Jed, his parents were maybe hoping that they could spend a little less this offseason if they had, you know, won the Super Bowl last year. But they didn't win the Super Bowl, and they're so desperate to just keep the team the same. I mean, they're not even really trying to get better. They're just trying to keep the team the same for one more year.
Interesting. I don't think anyone's heads are going to roll. I was just thinking maybe a little bit of control from Kyle would, maybe John gets more control. Maybe it's somebody else comes in and has a little more control. But it sounds absurd when you say that heads are going to roll if they don't win the Super Bowl. But they lost in overtime to Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl. They didn't finish fourth in the NFC West.
I know.
They lost in overtime in the Super Bowl. Now, again, Andy Reid was awesome, and then he had a couple of down years, and then the door started opening up for conversations like this. Harbaugh, there was a lot of, like, I need an extension stuff, and they didn't give him the extension. Then they went 8-8. And it was right. Kind of cemented before that, it was different. We haven't even begun to come close to that.
That's why I wouldn't mind having Grant Cohn on, because he said he heard from his source, who was hearing from another source. And then, you know, he said that, you know, Kyle brought the same team back. They didn't get better. Well, I think Dominic Pooney makes the team better. I think Malik Mustafa makes the team better. I think Jacob Cowing makes the team better. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
I think D. Winter is playing a little bit more, and his experience he's going to get with Dre Greenlaw out is going to make the team better.
This goes back to
Renardo Green is going to make the team better, Shasky. So I don't even believe that. Jordan Mason is better this year as a running back. So I don't even believe that aspect of it, saying that the Niners are just, hey, they just brought back the same damn team. No, they got better.
I think they're better. I think they're a little better. We'll see about defensive line. I think Leonard Floyd's an upgrade. I don't know in the middle. Like, Armstead was a solid player for them, but he was hurt.
Right.
Like, so that's hard to, we'll figure that. I don't think you're better early on without Greenlaw, but right. We'll see, right? Like, we'll see. But I think the area that I keep coming back to is if you're mad about the cost of players and all that, That's the cost of doing business at a high level in any sport. Like, I look at the Yankees payroll, and I look at the Warriors payroll, and I look at the Lakers payroll, and now the Nuggets went flying over. Just look around sports. There's a thing called, like, the cost of doing business. If you want to have avocado on the menu, avocado is going to fluctuate in price point depending on what time of the year it is. If you're going to have prime rib and your name's going to be House of Prime Rib and beef prices go up, that's the cost of doing business, unfortunately. And so if the player price point goes up, my argument to them would be like, hey, this is the cost of doing business.
So what's holding them
at a high level?
At a high level. This is the cost of doing business. You're absolutely spot on with that. And would Jed have it any other way when he looks at his team stores? And he looks at the jerseys in the crowd. And he looks at the sold-out stadiums. And then, hey, here's the better part. Here's the best part about it. When they go on the road.
I mean, they're one of the most popular teams in sports.
Look at the Las Vegas takeover.
Yeah, it's crazy.
LA. In the preseason, they took over Allegiant Stadium. What about SoFi? What about Tennessee, Nashville, Tennessee, first preseason game of the season?
That was pretty
Everybody
cool.
knew nobody was playing in that game. Look how many Niner fans were there.
Yeah.
So you think Jed, like, honestly, when we take a step back and look at everything, Jed York's mad about, oh, I got to spend a little money. He's making dollar after dollar after dollar after dollar. The Niners are a cash. Look at the hat you're wearing. Look at the hat I'm wearing. Yeah. I just went to the team store. We spent like $1,000 as a family.
But the one thing he doesn't have is Super Bowl. So
they got to get the Super Bowl, which is really hard to get.
Yeah, no,
like,
it
think
is.
About the Giants. We're going to have Dave Fleming on right now. Look how long we waited for the Giants to win a World Series. Waited our entire childhood. And then boom.
Years.
You know what I'm saying? But we're still coming. Like, Dusty Baker wasn't on some hot seat from 97. Oh, wait, you don't win. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
no, it didn't end well. It didn't end well, and they lost the World Series.
Yeah.
And he moved on. It was time to part ways. But come on. Like, honestly, if they don't win the Super Bowl, Colin Johnson's seat's going to get hotter and hotter than hot.
No, but like, I think this is crazy to me. No, I think this is what front offices say. Like, you know, I look at, like, Aaron Boone. Like, if you don't win the World Series, Aaron Boone, you're out of here. You know, like, that's how the Yankees operate.
Right.
But I would say the Yankees haven't won in the playoffs anywhere near what the Niners have won.
And we've heard Aaron Boone has been on the hot seat for 3 years.
Dave Roberts.
He's still
Dave
Roberts still there with the Dodgers.
Thing,
you know what I'm saying? So
I'm with you.
Let's bring in Dave Fleming, River Islands guest line, of course. Flem, long time no talk. I hear your carpool in here, so we'll try to keep it PC here. We'll try to keep it PG.
Hey, Dave!
No, we already did the carpool, and we listened to you guys on the way, and one of the boys in the back was like, is that why they call him the butcher?
Oh, no.
Joe was just freaking killing everybody, so we were listening.
I'm watching this team, and, like, over the weekend, there was the double play ball with Logan Webb that he just throws it in. Just, you got to get one before you get two. And then there's the ball hit to Conforto, and then McCray comes flying up. He misses the cut, goes second and third, home run on the next pitch. I'm just like, oh, my gosh. So many little things. Last night, they fight to get back into the game, all right? And then Corbin Carroll, little base hit to left field, beautiful piece of hitting, steals second, steals third, and boom, they execute with the runner on at third. And it ends up being, you know, like, the winning run in that game. The little things for this team and the lack of athleticism and speed, as I look around the whole bigs and all these other teams compared to them, it's just so difficult, like, for them to compete when they're at an athletic disadvantage, and it's really evident the last couple of months.
Yeah, I would say those are two different issues that you just brought up, but both are valid. You know, it is a bad contrast right now with the Diamondbacks with the just the execution in those offensive scenarios. I mean, the Diamondbacks, and it is pretty amazing to watch them. In the last 2 months plus, since late June, they're hitting just short of .300 with runners in scoring position.
Wow.
Now, that is pretty amazing. Like, that's in a year where offense is down across the board. And last night, it was like just a parade of every single time they had a chance. Base hit, base hit, base hit, sack fly, home run, whatever. That's pretty amazing. They're hitting, as a team, with the bases loaded this year, .375 as a team.
Oh, my gosh.
That's
so
crazy.
I mean, like, what they're doing is pretty special, and it does make for a very frustrating contrast with the Giants, who save their absolute worst at bats for those moments. Like, the Giants in the last 6 weeks, 7 weeks, the Giants with runners in scoring position, their OPS is below .600. Like, not hitting and not hitting with any power. Like, So it's been a that's just a massive difference between these two teams. D-backs last year were a team that ran wild on everybody. They haven't done that quite as much, but your point about the athleticism and the speed, and look, the Giants have gotten more athletic this year. They have. Ramos is more athletic. Fitzgerald's more athletic. Now that McCray's playing, he's more athletic. They've made a few strides in that regard, a few. But that doesn't mean that that issue can be separate from the stolen base issue, which is, I mean, absolutely has to be addressed. Because the Giants' differential in terms of the steals that they've given up and the steals that they've created is so massive. It's just incredible how game after game the Giants give up the steal.
Yep.
Even though they've gotten better at it, even though they have made a point of like emphasizing it, they're still not good enough at preventing the steal, and then they just don't generate steals themselves. They're just digging themselves a hole before you start a game with that differential.
You know, Flem, tied for last in stolen bases with 57 stolen bases on the season. 57, and they're tight with the Braves. And we know why the Braves are down, because they don't have Ronald Acuña Jr. or Ozzie Albies. And that's the one thing about this team and this regime that I can't grasp here. So they've tried to get a power hitter to come to San Francisco, obviously, in free agency, whether it's Judge, Ohtani, Harper, Stan, the list goes on and on and on. But when you look at this yard and the way this yard plays, and I'm thinking, boy, and we're sitting at Shasky and Matt DeHiga, we're sitting in a meeting looking at the old Cardinals teams playing at Busch Stadium.
On that turf.
And Whitey Herzog was like, you know what? I'm going to get speed on this turf. I'm going to use this stadium to my advantage. I'm going to get a bunch of speed guys, whether it's Vince Coleman and Willie McGee and Ozzie Smith. And that's just for the life of me. For the last 5-6 years, I'm thinking to myself, now, to your point, they are trying to get more athletic, and they are more athletic than they were a season ago, but it's still not up to par with the big boys in this league. I just don't get why, you know what? Get a power hitter or two. Maybe it's Bryce Eldridge, but get some guys who could go first to third, first to home. Use these gaps at Oracle Park and use the ballpark to your advantage. And for that philosophy, I just don't get why they haven't got to that philosophy. Or if they have, it feels like it's too late, Flem.
Well, I mean, I think there is an element of being caught in between. You know, one year you're trying to do this, and the next year you're trying to do that, and now we're emphasizing this, and no, wait, now we're I mean, I think there is a legitimate criticism of, you know, that plan and that team-building philosophy wavering a little bit. But I think, you know, as far as the steals go, I think it's very obvious to everybody that the Giants, and it might be too strong to say misread the situation, but I think it's very fair to say that the Giants underestimated the impact of the new rules the last 2 years. And the Giants have been left behind, where so many other teams have used those new rules and really created offense in an era where it's so hard to hit. It's never been harder to hit ever in the history of big league baseball than it is right now.
Yeah.
So how do you overcome that? Well, a lot of teams are overcoming that by using the running game, not just athleticism,
yep,
but actually emphasizing the stolen base and emphasizing what you're talking about. And part of the solution to the issue that you're bringing up is, as an organization, you have to put your money where your mouth, you have to emphasize to your players and make it a point of emphasis that you're going to do it. And that this franchise right now has not done that. And that's a fair criticism to say that I think they have underestimated the impact of the new rules the last 2 years, and we're seeing other teams take advantage of those rules.
It's a good point. And to add to that, the lack of patience is another issue, Flem. I call it the Sacramento shuttle. Guys are going back and forth to Sacramento, left and right, and it just feels like, you know, like Luciano, he may not be a good player. We don't know. He's struggling right now in the field. He's struggling in the batter's box, but it just feels like that runway to just let these guys play. Guys are just not playing. Then they do play, they struggle, and then boom, they're back in Sacramento. The lack of patience for some of the youngsters, instead, it's reared its ugly head here in late August and September. That's been alarming for me as well, Flem.
Well, I mean, I look, I do, I sympathize with that opinion. I do. And I think especially now that the Giants' playoff hopes have basically vanished, I do think that the approach in the last month should change, mm-hmm. and there should be a, you know, an eye towards trying to figure out some of those young guys and maybe what you can plan going into the offseason. But I have a hard time being real critical of, like, this is the big leagues are a performance league, man.
Mm-hmm.
And so young guys get a chance. And if you're thinking you're a playoff team, and the Giants at the beginning of this year and for all of this year have definitely thought we are a playoff team. They invested, they paid the money they wanted. You know, that was the goal, was to get. And so I find it hard to criticize when a young player just is not performing, that you're looking for another solution. Because I do believe strongly that the big leagues are a performance league. And so, you know, the Luciano thing, he hasn't performed. Matos,
yep.
you know, struggled big time. Now, are there other things you can criticize about the handling of those two guys? Sure. I think you can nitpick at maybe the long-term plan for those guys, but
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.